On the telephone line, we welcome back to the program our friend Pete Abraham from the Boston Globe. Pete, good afternoon to you.
Hey, Rich, how are you?
Doing very well, thank you. Interesting offseason, to say the least, for the Boston Red Sox. Not what we expected when things wrapped up back in late September, early October. Let's start with the managerial search, and where is that, and where do you think it's headed?
Well, you know, I think it's headed externally, that they're going to hire somebody from outside the organization. I don't know that for sure, but it seems the fact that it's taken this long leads me to believe that they're thinking about somebody outside, because if they were going to elevate one of the current coaches, who they, you know, obviously they know well, you would think they would have done it by now, because there's already players working out in spring, you know, at Fort Myers, and there's going to be a lot more starting next week. So, you know, at some point soon here, they're going to need to get a manager.
And is this a situation where you think, rather than a stopgap, they're going to let Chaim Bloom pick his guy for the next several years?
Yeah, my impression is that they're looking to hire, you know, the manager. That there's, you know, somebody who's going to be the manager for a long period of time, or what they hope would be a long period of time, and that they're not looking for an interim. You know, every indication is they want to get a manager who they, you know, they believe can work with Chaim Bloom for over the long term.
And should we assume, given his background with Tampa Bay, that he would like a guy who is pretty solid when it comes to the analytics?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's true for any team in baseball right now. But particularly in this case, for sure. You know, Chaim Bloom comes from that background. That's the reason the Red Sox hired him. And you would, you know, he'd want somebody, you know, oddly enough, similar to Alex Cora, who would be, you know, fluent in that language and wanting to use that in terms of how he ran his team and how he made his lineup up and how he looked at, you know, pitching and instructing the players. So, yeah, I'm sure they're going to want somebody who is, you know, is going to be comfortable running the team that way.
We haven't heard much about the MLB investigation and potential penalties, but it seems like this team is operating under the assumption that whatever happens won't be much.
Well, you know, it's funny. Like the day that they, after they announced Alex Cora had left the organization, and yeah, they had the big press conference at Fenway Park, they seemed very confident at the time, and I thought, oddly so, that they had done nothing wrong in 2018. You know, they kept saying to reserve judgment. Asked specifically if they felt like the championship of 2018 was soiled or tainted. Both John Henry and Sam Kennedy said absolutely not. To me, you know, you don't say those kind of things unless you have a pretty good idea of it. Otherwise, those words are going to get thrown back in your face when the report does come out. So I would think that before Alex Cora walked out of Fenway Park, they sat down with him and he explained what they did or didn't do in 2018. At that point, he would have no reason to mislead them. And I would imagine that that's the knowledge that they're proceeding with, that they know what the Red Sox did, they know what Major League Baseball is going to find or not find, as the case may be, and that they don't believe the Red Sox are going to face, you know, like the same level of punishment that the Houston Astros did.
We're talking with Pete Abraham of the Boston Globe here on Downtown. Well, what's the latest on Mookie, and how serious are they about moving him before the season begins?
Well, you know, I've been writing, and a lot of us have been writing for months now, that the Dodgers were the team that made the most sense. And you look at, you know, where they are in terms of their payroll, what they could take on, and what they have in terms of prospects that they could give up. They're the team that's always been a natural match. And the Dodgers were under a lot of pressure to win the World Series. They haven't really added much in the way of talent this offseason. It feels like they've been waiting to make a big trade. And certainly acquiring a player like Mookie Betts, a guy who's won the World Series already, you know, that would be the kind of player you want to bring onto your team if that's your biggest goal, is to win the World Series with this team that you have right now. And at some point, you know, they have a great farm system. They're going to be in good shape for years to come. But, you know, Clayton Kershaw's not getting any younger, and they do have some older players. This is the group that they want to try to get this done. You know, they've done everything else that they can do. They've had wonderful teams and 100-win teams and dominant, you know, National League pennant winners, but they haven't been able to win the World Series. So I do believe that if the Sox are going to make a deal, the Dodgers are the team that they can make it with, and it would make sense, I think, for both sides to do it now, because if the Red Sox are only 3 or 4 games out at the trade deadline, how could they trade Mookie Betts? You know, that it would be impossible, and to tell the fan base, hey, we're giving up on the season, we're only a couple games out. So this is the time I think you can do it and move along and kind of get, you know, fulfill the goals of getting under the salary cap and then also fulfill the goals of getting some younger players into the organization.
Notwithstanding whatever might happen with Mookie, what are the other question marks on this roster as they get set to report in a few weeks?
I think it's first base and second base. You don't really know exactly who's going to play either position right now, which is a little unsettling considering pitchers and catchers report on February 12th. So at second base, it's likely to be Jose Peraza, who they signed as a free agent. He's played the position before. He had a good year in 2018, not so much last year. They feel like he can play second base. First base could really be almost anybody right now. It could be Michael Chavis. It could be Bobby Dalbec, who's their, you know, one of their better prospects, if not their best prospect. They have a number of different ways that they could go with that. Mitch Moreland is still a free agent and would probably be willing to come back at some point on a low cost deal. So I wonder if they have another move out there to try to get a first baseman or at least supplement the position. But it's unusual. This is the first time I can remember in a long time with the Red Sox this close to spring training where they're not exactly sure what their lineup's going to be.
You wrote about the Hall of Fame yesterday and the idea that perhaps next year in 21, Curt Schilling could be alone going into the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, it's very possible. When you look at the BBWA ballot, there's no newcomers to the ballot, you know, who look like that they would be first ballot Hall of Famers. You know, and if you look at the other players who are going to be returning to the ballot, and there's no one close enough to think that you would be, to think that they would get to 75%. Kurt got to 70% this year. You know, barring something unusual happening, and with Kurt, you can't ever discount that. You know, he could. You know, he seems to be in a great position to move up to 75%. When you look back in history, everybody who's got to 70% since 1966, every player except one who has gotten up to at least 70% has gone on to into the Hall of Fame. So, you know, all the history is on Kurt's side in terms of progressing. And then you look at the Veterans Committee ballots that are going to be coming up next year. They're both looking at old eras, the 1900s to 1959 and then going up to 1969. Now, it's possible that there could be some players or some inductees who are still alive that they could pick. But it's also possible those committees have tended to be pretty stingy in terms of who they've advanced to the Hall of Fame. So there's a chance they could advance no one, or it could be somebody who's already deceased. So there's at least, you know, I think a pretty good chance that it could be just Kurt or just Kurt and an old timer. So it sets up an interesting, potentially interesting weekend for the Hall of Fame people, that's for sure.
Well, as you pointed out, too, the ballots are due right around the time of next fall's election. So there's always the possibility that Kurt says or does something that might screw it up for him between now and then.
Well, yeah, the ballots go out right around the end of November, and you have to have your ballot in by December 31st. It has to be postmarked by December 31st. So, I would not. I couldn't speculate on what Kurt may or may not say or whatever happens with the election either way. But, I'm sure he's going to be tempted to have some of his opinions out there on social media.
Pete, I just wanted to say, we talked about it after Nick Cafardo passed away so suddenly. I know getting the job of doing that notes column was certainly not something anybody wanted to get that way because of the fact that everybody loved Nick, but you were doing a tremendous job and continuing the rich tradition that began with Peter Gammons, and it's a must-read every Sunday.
Well, thanks, Rich. I appreciate that. And it's funny, Nick would, you know, never wanted to take a week off. He did it every week. And even when he was on vacation, he would insist on doing it because it meant so much to him. And, you know, now that I've done it now, well, shoot, it's going to be almost, you know, a year next month. You know, I understand how he felt. And it's, you know, you feel the weight of history when you sit down and write those. And it's nice of you to say that, you know, what you said. And I'm just hoping, you know, if I can be half as good as Nick and a quarter as good as Peter Gammons, I guess I'll be in good shape.
Oh, I think you got that down. Pete, always good to talk with you. We appreciate you making time for us this afternoon, and we'll catch up with you during spring training.
That sounds good. Thanks, Rich.
Thank you, Pete. Pete Abraham of the Boston Globe talking Red Sox with us. Our Boston Insiders brought to you every day by The Ground Round. Happy hour pricing from 3 to 6 and specials during games. Great service and amazing food at your locally owned and operated Ground Round on the Odlin Road in Bangor.